Good morning. And may I join Roy in welcoming you to our very special homecoming weekend at the Henderson congregation, in addition to all the things that we've enjoyed with the university this week and this weekend. I'm reminded a little bit about an occasion one time when there were so many people that I knew at this particular congregation that I said something to one of the elders before about before the service started. Boy, I could spend the entire time just being personal and greeting all the people that I know here. And his response was, just make sure we get a sermon. And so that's what we are going to try to do here. But I could be very personal about a lot of you. And we love you and have the opportunity to see you and on these special occasions. And we appreciate your being here our weekend of homecoming. Well, I always try to speak to the themes of homecoming weekend as well as to making music weekend. And I'll have to admit, I had to make a call on this particular theme to say, okay, tell me exactly what we're thinking about in terms of a homecoming theme called Lions Today and Legends Forever. Anne Marie Williams said, well, our students, our current students, are lions or lady lions, and we're encouraging them to look to those who have gone before, our alumni, and to follow them and to imitate them, that is to say, in particular, those who are people of faith and of faithfulness and who are legends in the Free Hardeman family. And I can think, as I think about those that I have known and those that I know of who've gone on to be with the Lord, how that they are indeed legendary status. They are with me, but they would be with everyone that sat at their feet or played for them or had any kind of opportunity to be involved in the work of the Lord with them. And then I think of those who even retired now but are still very active and are still showing us the way and are leading us in terms of faith and faithfulness. Legends. While at one time young lions. I think of those in the history of our congregation, not just those whose names are familiar in the brotherhood, talk about times and decades past, but those who are responsible for the Henderson congregation being the Henderson congregation. Yes, that involves leaders and well-known names, but by and large, it means those people that Brother Milton prayed for a few moments ago, elders and deacons and members who have continued to be people of faith and of faithfulness. So when I thought about the theme of Lions Today, Legends Forever, I automatically went to the last paragraph of Hebrews chapter 11, perhaps the least known paragraph in this great chapter that we call the Hall of Faith. When you think about a lion, and in particular someone who may be, if you may use this particular picture, as someone who is young in the faith, and a legend is someone who is older in the faith, or those who have gone on to be with the Lord, there is an interesting passage in Revelation 5, verse 5. We often think of the Lord being the Lamb of God, as John the Baptizer introduced him to the world, and he is that. But in Revelation 5:5, he's also mentioned as the King or the Lion of Judah. And then in verse 6, there again is the mention of the Lion or the Lamb that was slain. And so in that text there, Revelation 5:5 and 6, you have the picture of both the Lion and the Lamb. But today we're emphasizing the Lion. In this passage that opens up with faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, that is Hebrews 11 and verse 1, that will always be the best description or the best definition of the word faith. We understand faith to be something that is personal as well as something that is much larger than just an individual Christian. Our personal faith means that we trust in that which we have been taught, what we have been told. But the faith itself is the faith that has been once and for all delivered to the saints. The gospel message the whole of the Bible story. And so in these opening verses to chapter 11, faith is really defined not so much in a definition that is familiar about assurance and about conviction of things we know but we do not see with the physical eyes. It is really demonstrated. In other words, in Abel, we see a faith that tells us how to worship God. In Enoch, we find a faith that shows us how to walk with God. In Noah, we find an example of how to work for God. In fact, all through this chapter, you will find people who are being commended. There are 16 specific names, but the very explanation for their lives is the expression that is found 18 times, by faith they did what they did, or they became what they became. They were lions that God happened to call. They became legends forever. And then in this closing paragraph, he gives us a description of that particular process. First of all, he refers to the triumphs of faith. Here you will find that there is some miraculous activity in God. If you look at verse 33, who by faith they conquered kingdoms, they performed acts of righteousness, they obtained promises, and then in particular, they shut the mouth of lions, they quenched the power of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword. From weakness, they were made strong, becoming mighty in war, putting foreign armies to flight, and then in particular, women who received back their dead by the resurrection. Not every one of those expressions necessarily suggests the miraculous activity of God, but as you go back and read the Old Testament, you can put certain events with certain names. We know about those who are triumphant in battle because God was leading them even when the numbers were tremendously overwhelming against them. As in the battle of Gideon and the leadership that God provided. When you think about the battles that were fought by King David, when you think about the nations that were conquered, even the collapse of the walls of Jericho at the beginning of the conquest of Canaan under Joshua, there is the intervention of the Lord involved in these particular triumphs. We think about the widow of Zarephath and also the Shunammite woman, each of whom had sons to die prematurely. One was raised by Elijah, the other was raised by his successor Elisha. And we're reminded that in being people of faith, we believe in a God who has been involved and is involved and who has intervened in the life and in the history of his people. As we think about the Lord coming to be one of us, being divine and yet becoming human for a while, wearing flesh, there's a miraculous intervention of God in terms of sending him into the world by means of a virgin. And then his life was filled with the miraculous, where not only he was doing that which was of help to people who desperately needed the help, but also he was confirming that he was indeed what he claimed to be, the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the servant, the suffering servant, the Son of God. And we look at all of that evidence, and we come to a point of belief because, as John said, as he nears the end of the gospel message that he penned by inspiration of God, there are many other signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe and that by believing you might have life through his name. And so as we think about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, as we think about his ascension back to the Father, those are not natural, ordinary, human events. And so we believe in a God that is supernatural. We believe in his Son who, while upon the earth, yes, even though completely flesh, was unquestionably the Son of God. There is no other explanation for not only the things that he was able to do, but also the things that he said. No man ever spake like this man. So we believe not in that which is just merely natural and normal, what is a human story, We believe the divine story. And while God is not miraculously involved in the sense that we read in Scripture once the revelation was complete near the end of the first century, we believe in the record of that God who brought triumph even with insurmountable odds against them, that is, against his people. Why? Because he's God and they were his people. And from that, we take courage. From that, we give our faith. From that, we learn obedience. From that, we learn trust. But it's not just merely an accepting of the story, but translating the story into how you live, translating in how you behave, translating what you believe, what you're going to do in certain circumstances, certain situations, certain trials that even catch you by surprise, you're not ready for, you're not prepared for, but your faith is, or at least the situation or circumstance will reveal whether you are or not. We call it today providence, the intervention that God plays in our lives. If God were not involved, if God were not concerned about a bird that falls from the air or falls from the nest and therefore much more concerned about us, there would be no reason for us to go to him as often as we have in prayer today. But you see, he is the God who is there as our Father, who is not only there, but he is listening and he is translating and he is responding according to our greatest need and needs. But as the passage continues, there's not just the triumphs that the Israelites in the Old Testament experienced, many of which were by as a result of the miraculous intervention of God. They were the trials that they endured without miraculous intervention. And perhaps this is where that we most identify with what the Hebrews writer says. You look again at where the passage in verse 35 begins with the pronoun other. Others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings. Remember, the Lord was scourged practically to death before going to the cross. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two, tempted, put to death with the sword, went about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, wandering in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes in the ground. How would you like to sign up for that? You think when they were young lions in terms of faith, that they knew that their life would be translated into situations like that, and that someday, somewhere, there would be someone writing by inspiration of God would reflect back upon all of that and say, these are the people that we imitate. These are the people that we follow. These are the stories that we're going to tell ourselves and our children and our grandchildren over and over and over again, because these are people who put faith into flesh, who put faith into action. As we think about those who were tortured, as we think about those who were even sawn in two, church history has always said that that refers to Isaiah. There are various other descriptions here that refer to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. In fact, most of these refer to the prophets about whom Jesus asked the question once, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute and kill? And so they become a symbol of those who were faithful to the death, faithful to their very last breath, of putting their faith in flesh, and as a result have become legends for those who would come in succeeding generations. Were they aware that they were going to be a legend of faith? No. Was that their concern? Was that their motivation? No. That would not be in keeping with all the biblical principles of doing things in humility of mind and heart and spirit. No, the Hebrews writer is capturing people not only that he's familiar with, but they're familiar with. They're being revealed to him by inspiration, but everyone knew these stories. He's already said, I don't have time to tell you all the names that I could put with these particular situations. But they went through trials because of their faith. But really it was their faith that saw them through the trials. And so he's saying to us, you may be tortured. You may be mocked. You may be stoned. You may be even sawn in two or put to death in another way. And the people to whom he's writing would have been involved in just those kinds of things. Martyrs of the first century. And there have been martyrs every century since. Whether we know them or not, there will be martyrs this year, perhaps today. People who have made a stand for their faith and have put faith in the flesh no matter what. You may be destitute, not having that much of the world's goods. Hard for any of us to really imagine that. But what if you were? Would it affect your faith? Or would your faith perhaps be even stronger as a result of being destitute? As a result of not being able to depend upon anything or anyone but the one into whom breathed to you the breath of life? I love this expression, the last two expressions of this paragraph. It says, these were people the world did not deserve. These were people of whom the world was not worthy. Now that is especially true in terms of the world or worldliness. Those who bow to the god of this world. Those who are intent on enjoying just what they can see in the world and not see beyond the world. Those who have no interest in seeing beyond what they presently see or what they presently experience. Live today. That's all that we have. Make the most of today and don't think about tomorrow. That's the wisdom of fools or the foolishness of the world. It is not the wisdom of faith. Because you see, the thing that is being said about all of these characters, the named and the unnamed, they kept looking forward. They kept looking forward to something that was better. The key word in the book of Hebrews is better. They kept looking forward and kept looking upward to things that were going to be better. These who were raised from the dead are going to die again, but eventually there's a better resurrection, the resurrection that even Jesus himself knew and is responsible for ours, one in which there is no death after that resurrection. The world didn't deserve these great examples of faith and faithfulness. In fact, you could say God gave them as examples to the world. The world was not interested in them. The world put them to death. The world made them destitute. The world mocked at them and laughed at them, called them all kinds of names, even as that crowd did at Golgotha when their Savior was hanging and clinging to every breath. But they knew by faith what was coming. They knew by faith what was ahead. Not that they knew every detail and when it was going to happen and all of that. They knew there was a God in heaven who was in charge even of that cross. And they knew that tombs would eventually be empty because of the God who loves the world so much that he gave that cross and that son upon the cross. So he says, be like these that the world doesn't know. Be like these that the world desperately needs but does not deserve. Live above the realm of merely breathing. Live above being worldly. Be of the world that is to come. Even while you do your work, you raise your family, you discharge your responsibilities, you grow older, you experience disappointment as well as whatever joy life can bring. And like these who are legends of faith, you even as a young lion can be approved of God as they were by their faith. What does that mean? That they just simply trusted Him? No. They lived. They worked. They served. They suffered. They died if that was necessary. And as a result of being faithful no matter what, they were approved and enjoyed the promises that God has made. Not all of them were fulfilled in this life upon the earth. They will be fulfilled in the world that is to come. And you see, that's the message for us. We don't have everything figured out. We don't have every answer. We don't have every solution. We know the one who does, and we trust him. But it doesn't just mean showing up for services. It means going out and living. It means going out and believing. It means going out and behaving. It means going out and saying, speaking in behalf of the Lord. And whatever opportunity that you may have, whatever format, whatever arena may be yours, this is the faith that is approved of God. It is obedient to the will of God. God being our helper. We can't do it by ourselves. And God has given us each other to help us in this sojourn of faith, this pilgrimage of faith. And so think about being youthful as a lion, but becoming a legend of faith and recognizing that as we sit here today, we would all admit, I'm not there yet, but oh, I want to be. I want to be someone who can be trusted because I trust. I want to be someone that I would not be endangering anybody's soul if they followed me. I want to be that. Does it mean being great? Oh, absolutely not. Does it mean being legendary in terms of the way the world uses that term? Oh, absolutely not. Does it mean being known at all? No. It means being faithful. So here's the question. Sorry, wrong way. Here's the question. Series of questions. Will you be the next hero of faith? I mean, all you can do is speak for yourself. You can't speak for anyone else. You have to make your own choices and your own decisions. But will you be the next person that will be recognized, even as we have people in the audience today whose names could be listed in Hebrews chapter 11, and we love you and are grateful for you and continue to look to you for examples in all things. But what about you? Will you respond to God's call for work, which each one of these people did? Abraham not having a clue where he's going, maybe even why, but he believed and obeyed. Will you stand up to the world? In his prayer a few moments ago, Brother Richard mentioned, may we be examples to the world. I appreciate that, because that is exactly what we are called to be and to do. We're not the shining light, the Lord is. But he can shine the light of his saving grace and his gospel message through those of us who believe and trust to the point that, again, there's no other explanation as to who or why we are the way we are. Will you step out in faith to an unknown future? None of us knows what is ahead, not even later this afternoon. I think about our precious students, both at the university and high school and junior high and elementary level, who are getting ready for the future, what they all believe and what we all hope for, a great and exciting future, but it is unknown, isn't it? But will you believe regardless of the unknowns? Will you trust regardless of the unknown? Will you obey and be faithful to God regardless of the unknown? A lot of that unknown is going to be the greatest things you could possibly imagine. But what about those unknowns that challenge us? Put us to the test. Will we prove to be faithful? Will we, like Joseph, even with God's divine intervention, will we dream great dreams for God? Or will we sit with folded hands and watch the world go by, not trying to make a difference in where we are? Will you lead the way for your family to follow you, as Joshua was able to do, and many others of these in this great chapter? Will you bear the cross so that one day you might indeed wear the crown? That's what the Lord said. If you're going to follow me, there's going to be a cross in your future. We can hardly imagine what it was like to have seen him on that cross. We can hardly imagine the apostles being shocked to the core that something like that could happen to the one who walked on water, raised the dead, healed every manner of sickness and disease. What is going on? And yet in 3 days, they remembered that he promised, if I die, I will rise again. And so they gave their lives bearing the cross so that one day they might wear the crown. That's what we're called to do. But you see, if we're going to grow and proceed from being a lion with great possibilities, with great potential, to becoming someone that someday, somewhere, people will reflect back who have known and loved you can say, I want to be like that. It's almost like we look at the Bible stories and say, well, they should have been great. They're in the Bible. But now listen, they were normal, everyday people like us that God made extraordinary because they listened to him and they stayed with him. There are a lot of people who listen but don't do. They don't stay with him regardless of what happens. And so that's our plea today. You don't become a legend of faith by giving up, by giving in, by quitting. Even when you fail, even when the world has for a while a triumph over you and put you through trial that you could not have imagined, you still don't give up. You don't give in. In fact, the Lord can use those particular events to bring us to our senses and to bring us back to where we're supposed to be, get back on course to following these people who prove to be legends of not just faith, but legends of faithfulness. Steve Green has written a song entitled Find Us Faithful. We close with the encouragement of this one of the verses from that song. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives that we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. You and I rejoice today that we have those people in our lives who have done just that. They have taught us, they have loved us, they have disciplined us. And they have been there for us when we decided to go our own way and try something else. They've been there when we decided to come back. And there may be someone here today who needs to come back. Maybe someone here today who needs to come for the first time to the Lord. Some of the most beautiful words in all of language are those found at the end of Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You will find rest unto your souls. Is there someone who needs to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins today? All the provisions have been made ready. Do you need to come back and ask for prayers of your brothers and sisters and start over again and be on the right path of putting faith in flesh until one day faith becomes sight and we see the Lord of whom we talk, the one in whom we trust. We see him face to face and hopefully with the words, well done, good, faithful servant. while we stand and sing.